Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 135. Tom, top of the day to you.
Hello.
You're sitting over, well, right next to me.
I know, it's odd.
Usually you sit opposite me, but today is different because you need to be on video.
That's right, but we're still maintaining a responsible social distance.
Absolutely.
Which I tend to do most of the time anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do.
Are all in my business.
And germs. But also, we've got the guys from the Critic Cave here. We've got Brian and Christian. How are you guys going?
We're doing great, guys.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing us on this. It's a hell of an honor.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Well, we're super happy that you're here and that we've managed to keep you here because we literally just recorded your episode of your podcast.
Yes.
So I know exactly how you are, but we're playing the game that we didn't know.
So this isn't exactly part two.
No.
But it kind of is. If you want to get the real full experience, you can press pause and go and listen to part one there.
Yeah, so part one is the Critic Caves episode, but part two will be this one. But I believe this one is coming out before part one.
Oh, okay. That's going to make perfect sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The audience will figure it out.
Yeah. They'll probably just listen.
It's like an end game situation here.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And now, a word from our sponsor. A year is filled with 365 days. This is true for leap years as well, but I'm getting sidetracked. These, for the most part, are ordinary days filled with work or school. People wake, go about their routines, and then finish fast asleep in bed. Of course, there are birthdays of those close to you that you celebrate. New Year, national and religious holidays are highlights on the calendar as well. The problem we at the Special Days Council discovered was that there is a greater number of ordinary days versus the special ones. Large portions of every month, people don't feel joyful or ecstatic. Instead, they feel bored, stressed, and unhappy. This is why we've been working incredibly hard campaigning for more public holidays celebrating all kinds of things. Pat a Cat Day. Everyone not allergic should have the day off to pat cats. Star Wars Day. Now, we got incredibly close to this one getting approved, but then The Last Jedi came out and, well, now we're back to square one. Sunglasses Day. How nice would it be to have the day off and get outside and wear your shades? Must be celebrated during the day, though. Corey Hart. We need your support to bring more paid days off to more people around the world. Become a Patreon of ours and help make a change today.
We're going to play Would You Rather with you guys a little bit later on instead of a quiz. I thought that'd be fun. It's a bit of a more of a get to know you kind of thing than a test.
Which I don't know.
We're always down. If we're doing movie trivia, I can be good at it. It just depends what questions are.
So. Yeah. See, you don't want to go too hard, right, Tom? As in difficult.
No. It's got to be something everyone could play. If it's me by myself, you try and stump me. But the rest of the time, let's keep it open.
There's no fun otherwise.
No.
We've got a few news stories each. Yep. We'll have a discussion with you guys about them as well. We'll crack into a couple of watching suggestions
each. I made sure everything I watched this week is good fun because there's been too much shit.
Yeah.
So this week is some silly bananas kit.
I love it.
Get
That's
excited.
Gonna be amazing.
Get your laughing pants on, boys.
Oh, have you guys got laughing pants on? Yes, I can hear them.
They're the short shorts.
Wear short shorts.
Yeah, keep your tackle tucked in and it's all good.
Tom, do you want to...
Wait, hold on. What does that mean?
It's exactly what you think. We're a bunch of simpleton
Americans. We have no idea what just...
Let me translate for you. Make sure your chicken nuggets stay tucked in the bag.
Okay.
Oh, all right, that makes sense.
I get that.
Yeah. Short shorts you don't want flapping in the wind.
Right. See, when you attach food to it, all the Americans all of a sudden did it. So,
there you go. Look, Christian, I didn't come here to fuck spiders, okay?
Hey! There we go. Hey! Good.
So Australian right now. Tom, do you have any Australian news stories? I don't think I do. I don't know how to segue this one.
Nah.
Okay, this is how I'm going to segue it. I've got a segue.
Yeah.
Speaking of Australia,
oh.
Do you remember the Star Wars prequels were filmed here?
Yes.
In Sydney, right?
I do recall.
And Ewan McGregor was in those said prequels.
Yeah.
He has got his own Disney Plus show coming. As we all know, it's going to be the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. And he is more excited to film this series than he was to film the prequels. And the main reason is...
No Jar Jar?
Yeah, but you're close. You're really close. Back then, he was filming obviously all on blue and green screen, but all on blue and green screen, but with nothing else around him. And people would be like, this stick is the bad guy. Look terrified.
Watch out for General Grievous.
That's right. That's right. But now, obviously, the way they do stuff with The Mandalorian, they're still using green screens and everything, but at least the actors have an idea of what things look like. Like there's actual bits of equipment that look like bits of equipment. So that's why he's more excited to film this. You guys are Star Wars fans, right? I mean, I know definitely there's a few couple of posters.
It only comes up on every other episode we talk about. So yeah,
there's some nice posters behind Brian.
Thank you. Yes, So what you guys are seeing here, this is my little nerd cave. This is in my house. This is the one room my wife allowed me to do whatever I want to it. So I've got Star Wars posters. I've got models. Christian, settle you know about everybody. All these. Yeah, shut the hell up. This is I've got some models, some toys. I build my own models. I am that much of a nerd.
Nice.
Hey, I'm still playing Warhammer 40K. Bring on that ninth edition. I'm psyched.
So do you really play Warhammer?
Fuck yeah.
I'm going to have to resin print you some models. I don't know if you paint models. Yeah. And I'm going to send them to you. I'm not even kidding.
All right. Awesome. Awesome.
We'll talk about
that. Yeah, love it. After. Love it. Hey, I've got a new story about some 40K stuff. Well, kind of in a weird way.
Amazing.
So I know a lot of people probably didn't watch much last weekend because they were busy playing Last of Us 2, finally dropped for PS.
Oh, were we ever.
Yeah. So someone's pulled screen grabs because I didn't see it. But apparently one of the abandoned apartments you can go into, someone has left an airbrush on the table and they've got 40K miniatures. They've been painting up some Space Marines. There's also an abandoned gaming store that's got a 40K table set up and some people are playing. There's a battle still taking place across a bridge over some lava.
Amazing.
And there's a D&D board set up, including where the camera can view only the opposite side of the Dungeon Master's board. But some of the devs have posted a photo with what the reverse of that was and what everyone's HP and PP and everything was.
That's so cool.
Oh, that is fantastic.
That's so
serious
cool.
Attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's all within the game.
Yep.
That's wow, man, Naughty genius. Dog are amazing.
I know there was a reference to, I think, Uncharted 2 or something. You can see that next to a PlayStation 3. Yeah. So you guys have played some of The Last of Us 2?
I've only gotten about maybe 5 or so hours in.
Okay.
Maybe
I think I'm almost done with it. I shamelessly or shamefully, however you want to look at it, might have taken 3 days off of my regular job.
Why not?
To play this game. I haven't done that in years.
I did that last year. I did that last year when Planet Zoo finally dropped.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's the right reaction. Oh, okay. Yeah, a zoo cool. simulation builder.
As soon as Planet Coaster comes out on PlayStation, that's where I'll be.
You know, I got pushed back. Planet Coaster, I got pushed back to Holiday.
Is that a simulator? What is that?
Have you ever played Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yeah, it's that.
It's the same, but even better. It's fantastic. Really?
You can control absolutely everything. I don't like where that blade of grass is.
That would drive me crazy. I would not. Oh, it's just a list of things, really. Yeah, I haven't started The Last of Us 2 yet. I wasn't sure whether to play it around this time because apparently it's quite...
Yeah, it is. A little bit. I mean, have you played the first game? Have you played part one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would say give it a shot. You just got to be in a certain mindset when you start playing it. Like, you cannot be all happy and joyful going in because it just... It tanks really, really fast and your emotions will just be on a roller coaster for whatever 15-hour long story that it is. But yeah, it's fantastic. Like I said, I'm only about 5 hours in and it's so good.
Really?
I will say this, as long as the ending isn't bad, this will go down for me as the best PlayStation 4 game released.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Personally.
Ooh,
that might be ruffling feathers, but
I don't think that's
where I'm at.
I mean,
I'm 20 hours into the game. It's a 25-hour campaign, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Oh, so you're close. Oh,
wow. A lot longer.
Yeah,
look,
so
it's at the point in the PS4's life cycle where you've got to make that choice. What's the, for me, my standard has to be Spider-Man. But I get so many people are loving Last of Us 2. I've got a couple of friends that are just fawning over it. Of
yeah,
you know, they adored the first one.
You get playing Spider-Man is just absolutely stunning. Mm. You know,
I wonder how far into it you can find the D&D board.
Find at your own leisure.
Yeah, everyone, I
there's
guess
a challenge
have to find
for you.
Yeah.
Good answer.
It's a good.
Yeah,
it's
have
a
people
good
go out there and look for it for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I've got a story here that everybody on this podcast today is going to be super excited about. A third movie for Mamma Mia.
Here we go again, says every hot headline.
Here we go again.
There
Mamma
we go.
Mia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, Tom. I know you're excited for that one, Tom. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lover of musicals over here.
Now, I watched the first one. I haven't seen the second one. And when I watched the first one, I went, oh, I am glad that they seem like the actors are having a lot of fun. The audience is enjoying it. But I don't think it's for me. So I didn't bother watching the second one. And now I'm surprised that there is a third one.
Ah, those movies make my mum get in the mood.
But how many ABBA songs can you play? You know, like there's a lot of ABBA music, but surely they would have used the best two in the first two.
Yeah.
They keep making Beatles movies.
True.
I have sadly seen both of them so far because the wife likes them. So she tolerates my movies. I try to tolerate her movies.
Good man. Good man.
Such a good husband.
Yeah. You know, I try to be, at least in
you
one aspect.
Catch me
I try
dead
to
watching Mamma Mia 1 or 2. Not a fan. Well, I've tried. Yeah. I've tried watching the first one time, and I got probably 20 minutes in. I'm like, okay, this just isn't for me.
What do you reckon the do you reckon it's the amount of money they're giving Meryl Streep to make her come back? Or is it just like a movie that for her is lots of fun to film because it's not super serious? Fun,
right? I think it's a combination of everyone gets a holiday somewhere in Italy to go and film.
No, it's Skiathos in Greece. It's a Greek island.
It's the same area.
Okay.
Australia, New Zealand, same shit.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm saying is all the cast get to go and have a nice holiday in a European setting. They would make
paid
an absolute... paid for. Mm. The production company would make an absolute mozza off the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm telling you that that is a major driver. In any musical film like this is how many albums will they sell?
And they would sell those. Like people would buy the actual CD of that.
How it's not bundled in a package with Mariah Carey's Christmas album and anything Bublé, I don't know. But that is the Get Mum Wet for Christmas package.
It's a beautiful saying.
Sorry.
That was a beautiful explanation of that. Mm. I like that. I like that you threw in a little Michael Bublé in there.
I love Bublé. Geez. I've got a lot of time for the boobs.
Do you genuinely like
genuinely love Michael Bublé? He is one of the biggest.
Virtual from Florida to Australia. High five. Oh. I shamelessly like me some Michael Bublé.
He's one of the biggest stoners in the game.
Yes.
And
he is.
Just. Clearly stopped giving any fucks for about anything that isn't his family years ago. I love the man.
He's from Canada, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
He did it.
He's got a fantastic fucking voice.
He does. He did an episode of a show called Celebrity IOU with the Property Brothers recently and kitted out a house for his grand, who's now late grandfather's carer. And he'd promised his grandfather on his grandfather's deathbed that he would do up this house for her and make her good. And, it was
that's
a really
yeah,
emotional
that's
episode.
Really nice.
It was nice. It was, and just Property Brothers, both Canadian, Bublé, Canadian. Yeah. Can you guess what the most used word was in that episode?
Sorry.
Yeah, we know what that's all about.
Have you got a lot of memories in this room? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Did you like that color? No. Sorry. Mm.
Sorry, I don't like it, eh?
I've got some dates for a few things.
Okay.
Bam. Umbrella Academy Season 2 we know is dropping July 31st. I am amped. They are stuck in the 60s. Klaus looks like a proper Charles Manson hippie-ish guy.
Do you guys watch Umbrella Academy?
Oh, my God.
I saw the first season, show. But it's been a long time.
It has been a while.
I loved it.
Has been a while.
I remember... It had an impact on me when it came out for sure. I just pulled me right in.
Mm.
So I'm amped for that to drop. Doom Patrol is dropping. Well, I think it starts today for you guys in the US or something like that. Don't know when we'll be getting it on Foxtel, which is the Australian carrier of that sort of stuff, but hopefully not too much longer. Witcher Season 2 resumes shooting in the UK on August 17th.
Awesome.
They were one of the very first shows, productions to shut down when they were filming in Europe very early March. So they were hoping to get started early July. This is really cool that they've got the thumbs up for August 17th.
Mm.
Cool.
And that sets a very clear precedent for a lot of other Hollywood productions that are over in Europe that they can start firing up. So look for Disney to really get the Marvel machine fired back up again, because they were filming plenty of stuff over there at the time.
That's cool.
And then another weird date one. So I don't care what anyone thinks, but I'm excited to watch SpongeBob SquarePants Sponge Out of Water.
I am too.
Good. Those SpongeBob movies are so much fun.
I grew up with SpongeBob. I got to watch him whenever I can.
Hasselhoff as a boat is still one of the funniest things I've ever seen on the big screen.
Genius.
So the trailer for this one obviously has Keanu playing Keanu as a wizened sage giving them advice and this sort of stuff. I'm all for it. So the film was meant to come out, I believe, in May. Then it got pushed back to September.
To theaters, right?
Yes, in theaters. And, I mean, there's a Switch game that's tied with it. They've got a whole bunch of stuff that they've had to shift back. Well, they've just announced again that they're now shifting the film completely to 2021.
Okay.
It's going to have a digital premiere, so it's not going to theaters anymore.
Wow.
But this is all because they've signed a deal for it to be one of the major things not long after launch for the CBS All Access platform. So obviously everyone's getting their streaming platforms going and they want their big ticket items and stuff. This is a major film that would have done big money at the cinemas. They're instead going to still appease the theatrical system by having the early release online that you can rent, but then it goes to CBS All Access, and that's equivalent to like a Disney Plus original type of big programming. So it sucks that we've got to wait for this movie. Mm. I don't know what this happens. Well, you know, I have pre-ordered the game at EB Games. I'm expecting that to come in. I haven't received my email to let me know it's pushed back or anything yet. Why is my damn SpongeBob? said the 36-year-old man.
Brian, do we still have EB Games in the States?
Wait, were you guys being serious? Is EB Games
EB is Games is the only game
is
store
it, is
we
it
have.
GameStop, I think?
Yes,
GameStop.
You have
it over there. Yeah.
Is it the same company, though?
I don't believe so.
You're the like resident video game junkie.
I could have sworn or something about them acquiring EB Games or something like that. I'm not too sure.
God, but, I remember
even here in the States, GameStop is probably on its way out soon.
Yes. So we're kind of in that same thing. They've always got a sale. They've survived a lot better by opening a second chain called Zing, which attaches to them, which is kind of like Threadless for you guys. Or no, ThinkGeek.
I had a feeling.
Oh, okay.
You know how some of the places like that, I know there's one store in New York that you've got the GameStop upstairs and then you go underneath and it's the t-shirts, the models and stuff.
That's interesting, because all of that is in the GameStop store here.
They're trying.
You go into a GameStop, they have the games on the walls, but then they have tons of merchandise.
Yeah, right.
Well, they have a ThinkGeek here in the mall, in the Florida mall here in Orlando. I don't know if Christian, you've ever been to it, but they do have an actual, so it's the same thing. I wonder if it's the same company that owns EB. I'm assuming
I bet it would be.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
They're the Muggles, still waiting on their acceptance letter to Hogwarts. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Disney, when they first started, were giving everybody 7-day free trial.
Disney Plus.
Test it out. Disney Plus, sorry. Yeah Disney Plus. Right. Anyway, they've stopped that, at least here in Australia. I'm not quite sure about the US. They've stopped it, and then Hamilton's premiering pretty soon. So I think that's a good idea for them to stop it then, because then people can't jump on free trial, watch Hamilton, bounce out again.
It's also almost a year since they first opened up for the free trial service.
And Netflix doesn't have a free trial anymore. Like this, you're paying what? I think it's $7, something like that in the US, $8 here. I think it's $9 here. It's not a huge amount a month to grab it. So I can understand why they would get rid of the free trial. I wonder how many other, like, do you guys know if Hulu do a free trial or some of the other? They do?
Hulu, I know Hulu
does.
Well,
can't you bundle Disney Plus with Hulu?
Ah, yeah, that's right.
Not for us. We can't get Hulu in Australia. Likewise,
you cannot get Hulu in Australia.
No, so
it's just not here. That's
yeah,
all.
We've got to use VPNs to get everything. Yeah.
That's what I was. I wondered. Yeah, so you guys have to use. We are. Okay, you have to go through other channels.
Yes, we are able to get things. Basically, if you want to be a nerd in Australia, you work real hard at it because we're lagging behind or told no by you guys on plenty of stuff. So you go through VPNs or find it. I have a US iTunes account. So I managed to get a lot of programs through there. And like that's how I was able to set up Amazon Prime and a few things that I can check out there. But Hulu is one that is just almost impossible to get into without a VPN.
Do you guys not have Amazon access there at all?
So we have Amazon Australia, and it's the redheaded little brother that tries.
Redheaded?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It has, so it has a fucking
guy. I have to ask really quick, and I'm sorry to segue here with these questions. Mm. Do you guys, with since you said it's a redheaded stepchild, the delivery times, what are the delivery times like in Australia? Sorry, I was just curious about that.
So if you're getting it from...
I can order something... Sorry, go ahead.
You can get Amazon Prime, but it's Amazon Prime Australia. So we have a much smaller catalog of things that can be ordered from Amazon Prime, and that will get out to you.
They cost more.
They cost more, and that will get out to you pretty damn quick. Not same day delivery like you guys had. But that's not really a thing Aussies are looking for too much because it's geographically impossible with the amount of people we have and how spread out we are and this sort of stuff. Mm. But at the moment, getting something from Amazon America can take 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
There's so few flights.
We have an Amazon warehouse on every other street. So.
That's just it. We have so few flights coming out from you guys to us at the moment that the cargo loads are just tiny. Mm.
Yeah. Wow. That's insane. That's crazy.
It's an interesting time of... the world, so
Lord,
nothing is as it should be anyway.
Showing shibby and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
So Columbus, Ohio is a place and it exists and it's a city. May no longer be called Columbus very soon because there's a petition out to get it changed to Flavortown because that is the home place of Guy Fieri. Can you imagine going on holidays to Flavortown and then showing up in Columbus and going, oh, still, it's fun.
I wish I knew that this was going to be a Flavortown appreciation podcast today because I just got a new jumper that's Dungeons and Dragons and Diners and Dive-Ins and Dives.
My wife and I love Guy Fieri.
Triple D.
The last cruise. So my honeymoon cruise. We did a honeymoon cruise because we're big fans of cruising.
Sure.
And they had a Guy Fieri's burger joint, I think it's what it's called, on the cruise ship. For 5 days straight, we were at that station. And donkey sauce was delicious.
Nice.
I'm just going to say it.
Oh, wait, what's donkey sauce?
I love Flavor
Town. It's the sauce that kicks you in the face.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Donkey sauce.
Yeah, I get it.
It's not a donkey slap.
So, I mean, this is still a petition, so if you guys want to sign it, you can. They've got over 31,000 signatures.
I know people that have already signed up.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
It's the second.
Columbus, that conquistador can kiss my ass. Let's call it
Flavor Town. Yeah, Flavor Town sounds awesome, right?
Why not? Can you imagine like the promotion for it is Guy Fieri's face just
yes
with a hot dog hanging out of his mouth. Oh hell yeah!
I'm really into that. Is the second most popular like Flavy McFlavor Town or something?
It should be right.
Did you guys hear about that
Flavor Town?
The Bodie McBoatface? Yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome. So good. All right, Tom, you've got two other stories for us.
I got two news stories and one trailer that was hot. So my news stories, obviously, normally at this time of year, I'd be getting ready to go to America for Comic-Con.
It's not happening.
And I'm really sad because San Diego, I love it, and we can't go this year. But they're doing it all online. And even better, they're not being pricks and charging us.
Woohoo!
That's really cool. Free. You didn't know about that, Christian?
There may be still some paid elements.
I'm sure.
But many of the main, basically anything that would have been in Hall H, I understand they're going to be promoting it online. Now, DC are doing their own event later in the year, so don't expect anything from DC during that period. Mm-hmm. We haven't got confirmation on what Marvel are doing, but there's no way Marvel will sit that shit out. It's too many eyeballs. Right. They'll be excited. But one of the big ones, so Robert Kirkman, who is the creator of Walking Dead, obviously a very big fixture at Comic-Con and has been for a long time. We were discussing last week that there is a new Negan comic coming for Walking Dead that will only be available for free in comic book stores. That's him doing his bit. He was a comic book store employee who somehow lucked into the big leagues and got his comic book noticed and got a job and went off. So any chance to give back to comic stores, he's there. During ISO, cool. he sat down and worked – the artist of Walking Dead lives in England. The two of them worked online and came up with this new story, whipped it out, got it printed in secret, and have it set to go for when Free Comic Book Day kicks off.
That's so nice. Like, what a solid thing to do.
That's really cool.
That was last week's good guy, Robert Kirkman. This week's good guy, Robert Kirkman, is he's basically gone to AMC and said, this needs to be the biggest Comic-Con panel we've ever done. All three Walking Dead shows need to be represented equally. So what originally was going to be of a little bit of a trailer for the spin-off, the new one that's coming, a little bit of tease for what will happen for Fear the Walking Dead, which won't come back until much later in the year, if it even does, because they didn't finish filming the season. He put his foot down and said, we're showing everything. Anything we've got, people want to see, let's get it out there. What a dude.
Yeah, why not? Why not just do cool things for people?
He's like, I don't care if we're not showing this stuff to next year, whatever it is. People are home, struggling at home. Just give them something. It does not hurt anyone's bottom line to show this stuff off.
Totally.
That's absolutely awesome. Good for him.
What a dude.
That's
cool. What a dude. So that's one cool of good guy. One end of good guy. The other one has me very excited. So we've known for a while, and this is a total pipe dream, and whether it will happen or not, who knows. But the Flash movie starring, Ezra Miller.
I was going to say Idris Elba for Idris a second. Elba. I'm like, that's not the name.
I would fuck
that's
with
not
that.
The guy.
I would fuck with that. Okay, so there's a famous Flash story, which is maybe 10 years old now, maybe a few more, called Flashpoint, where very long story short, Barry Allen, the Flash, goes back to the night his mother was murdered and intervenes so that she is not killed, and it creates a new strand of the multiverse. And normally in most stories, time would reset and things go back and we follow the prime universe. Because of his actions and he's connected to the Speed Force, whatever changes he makes forces that to become the prime universe. In this universe, a whole bunch of stuff happened differently. Bruce Wayne was shot and killed in the alley. And his dad, Thomas Wayne, becomes an old fucking angry murderous Batman.
But still Batman.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's so cool.
For the last 2 years, while they've been talking about Flashpoint, it's been rumored that Jeffrey Dean Morgan would reprise the role because he played him in the Affleck movie.
Yep.
Got shot, whatever. Apparently, this morning, they've inked a deal with Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton Brian's thing. I did. Out. Wow, really? That's awesome.
Yep.
Tom, thank you for bringing that up because I sent Christian that text as soon as it went live. Never in a million years thought I would see that, nor did I think I wanted that.
I have gone on record on this show talking about how they need to make Batman Beyond already and have Keaton back in full neck and leg braces. Like, he needs to be a fucked up old Bruce Wayne of this is why you should not try and be a superhero. Apparently the plan is they want to try and use him like Nick Fury. And he's going to be bringing people together behind the scenes. So that way they don't need to have him in a costume, but they can still have him involved with all the films.
Yeah, and I mean, with the technology now, the way it is, you know, they could just marvel it and put his floating head on a body and pray that it looks good.
Yeah.
I want old battered armored Batman like Dark Knight Rises, Miller 80s style in the exoskeleton.
Yep.
Just angry, just fucking, and it has to be the thin suit. That's one thing I have to give Zack Snyder credit for his universe is the thin suit where it doesn't look high tech. That's what I want. I want that classic. Yeah.
Right.
I want that. I never in a million years thought I would want that. And I just want to fast forward and I want to see this film.
See, I want to fast forward 5 or 6 films past that, where they've pulled the trigger on what they'll never do with Nick Fury, which is to make Bruce Wayne the villain. He needs to go insane and try and protect the city, get the bat bots going, make the bat tanks and everything and take over, make an authoritarian Batman. And finally have the film where Batman goes bad and it's his proteges that need to rise up and be woke and stop him.
I think that would be awesome because we've already had the author, the bad Superman, right? And that story has been retold and retold and retold, especially like with Injustice, things like that.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a really cool idea to have Batman go bad and have everyone try and fight him. That'd be
freak
kinda cool.
The hell out.
Well, he's got all the, he knows how to kill everyone.
Yeah.
What kind of
messed
up? And
I mean, if it's any indication of his performance in one, in Birdman, and two, in, oh my God, in the first Spider-Man film, the reboot of the reboot.
Homecoming.
Homecoming, thank you. I've never seen him deliver a performance like that, where he genuinely scared me. So yeah. I want to see that performance turned into the Batman.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious what he's going to do. I'm really intrigued by this idea, and I hope it doesn't fall through and something happens with the execs and it gets canceled. Because if you're going to start the DC universe, I think this is the way to really apologize to the fans.
That's a big word.
I like it.
Especially for DC.
I like it. I stopped watching them. And I watch everything. And I stopped watching DC movies.
So let me open up this can of worms really quick.
Yeah.
What's your thought on Snyder's universe, his original vision, and now what we're getting with the Snyder Cut?
Didn't care then. Won't care now. That's honestly okay. I have a lot of friends that are super invested in wanting to see this. And I'm really happy for them. You know, that's their bag. It's not, I'm a Marvel lifer. I love plenty of DC, but I'm Marvel through and through. And so I'm not as beholden to these. And it's an abusive relationship. I've been struck by my boyfriend too many times.
And then you had a period of, you had the one amazing boyfriend where he was just the best.
Which one was that?
The Christian Bale, in my opinion. Oh, era. The Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan universe. And then something happened in that relationship. You have no idea what happened, why it went wrong, and now we have all the crappy relationships.
I will say I enjoyed Aquaman and I enjoyed Shazam. They're not great movies, but they're fun.
They're fun.
Yeah. And they existed in a pocket away from the rest.
The universe.
No.
We saw how Joker did. Joker's fantastic. Why can't they just keep making more movies? Yeah, exactly. They don't need to have a universe.
I would love it if for 5 years they just committed to the Elseworld idea. You all know the DC stories. Yes. Let's just, you know, let's do Bat Vampire or some really weird stuff. They're doing some really interesting stuff.
To get what's it called, the Arrowverse over there with Netflix and all that?
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
what's your thoughts on that?
I love it.
I started getting into it and I'm starting to like it.
So
I'm really starting to like it.
Arrow has great seasons and terrible seasons, and there's no consistency. Flash starts super high.
That's why I never even started it. Yeah.
But it's worth it. Arrow, the more time you invest in Arrow, the more you will get out of every other show that they've made.
How many seasons are there? 8?
So Arrow had two-thirds of a season, and then it's finished now. Flash starts super high, and then as more and more shit in his world goes wrong, it gets darker and a little less fun. But that coincides with Legends of Tomorrow, which has one of the worst first seasons of any show I've ever seen, but then hits the second season, like they hit the fucking reboot hard, so hard that it is the most fun show on television. It is the number one watch I have every week when Legends of Tomorrow is on. It is the most batshit crazy thing out there. One of the most recent episodes, they had an animatronic Cisco dancing in the background while they had a fight with the worst villains across history who time traveled.
Was it you guys that had mentioned that in a previous podcast?
Or, that's how I know about it.
Thomas. And now I need to go back and watch this episode.
So Legends of Tomorrow is great. Supergirl, I don't keep up with too much. Batwoman, same deal. I don't keep up with too much. I dip in on those ones and they're good fun. But yeah, Arrowverse, I don't know. It's got a good feel. It's very consistent. Whoever's in charge of their continuity really works hard.
So you really have to watch all three of these shows to get to understand the plot and everything?
Yes and no. They do crossovers every year. And the crossovers are the big events, and the more of the other shows you've seen to feed into it, the better. But at the same time, you can just watch the crossovers as a cool thing. So there was Crisis on Infinite Earth X, which is the Nazi planet, and that was Nazi versions of all our heroes and stuff. And this year they did just proper Crisis on Infinite Earths, and the multiverse ended, and there were paragons that had to reset.
That's kind of how I got into it. Someone was like, oh, you have to watch the crossovers. And I watched a few and I was like, okay, I have to stop and I've got to start watching the Arrowverse in chronological order, which is a feat in and of itself. But I want to, so I can kind of understand where everything is happening chronologically.
Yeah.
It makes sense when you're watching Arrow of when the other shows will start. So halfway through season 2 of Arrow, there is a terrible electrical storm and we don't see it happen, but a young forensic scientist for the police gets struck by lightning, and it's just a news story that happens in the background, but then that character starts appearing on Flash, on Arrow a little bit, and you're like, hang on, is that? It is Barry Allen. Hmm. And so they spend a few episodes setting up Barry on Arrow before he spins off into Flash. Likewise, Legends of Tomorrow scoops a lot of the C-grade characters from Arrow and Flash and gives them a home because they were just going to be forgotten characters from these other shows, puts them together. It's very, very clever. That's well done.
Very cool. It's good.
Yeah, Christian, you should give that a shot because forget about Marvel and the way Marvel does their stuff and just let this be its thing. Trust me, it's good. Well,
that's my biggest problem with TV shows is trying to get to those filler episodes. It's just a slog. So if there's a list online that shows you all of the episodes you need to hit, I'm down.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And look, I've got one last thing. It's a trailer, and this is talking about continuations of stuff we enjoyed. I am really amped for, and I wasn't too much sure because I love the comic book of the Secret Service, which got turned into the film, The Kingsman.
Yep.
And the trailer for the prequel, whatever you want to call it, The Kingsman, came out yesterday, and Maneth Maketh Man continued to do so. I am here. Ray Fine, World War One, Dapper. Fucking yes. I feel like there's going to be a discussion of either pocket squares or cravats. Do you know what I mean? Like it's going to be a whole different level of fancy pants.
That sounds amazing.
At some point, we'll get Ralph Fiennes running up to someone a la Harry Potter when we first see Voldemort like appear, go up to him and touch him in the head and just freak everybody out.
Oh, man. I have no idea what's going to happen with this, and this is the brilliance of it. Like the other two, I had read the comics beforehand, so I had a reasonable idea. I look forward to seeing what type of celebrities they sneak into the film because they've always done a great job of having Elton John or different celebs reasonably organically worked into the story. How will they get someone in here? Because they will.
So when are we supposed to get this? Is it supposed to...
So it was going to be November this year.
Okay.
I believe they're still hoping for there. They haven't said a firm shifting date.
Sure.
But Matthew Vaughn is still very heavily involved. Funny fact, Matthew Vaughn, the director who did Kick-Ass 1. Do you know he's married to Claudia Schiffer?
No. Nice.
Yeah, good work, son. Getting David Copperfield's offcuts.
That's right, David Copperfield, yeah.
She likes him rich and magic.
Yep.
I loved that more than I probably should have. That was great. Any other news?
They're called illusions, Michael. Tricks are what whores turn for money.
Real magic.
Yeah, that's right.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's get into some watching suggestions because whether or not you've studied for this, guys, I would assume that you've watched some stuff in the past couple of months.
Yes.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. Correct answer. Now, I know that we have all watched the movie Australia, Baz Luhrmann's Australia. We watched that recently and we won't go into it in this episode, but you can go over to the Critic Cave and listen to that instead because we go in depth, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably for sure.
I think it's the longest. Yeah. I think it's the longest.
That's as the Critic Cave goes.
Well, it's the longest I've focused on one thing in months.
Do you plan on sleeping after this, like nocturnally, just sleep for a couple of days?
No, just have a good hibernate.
I'm going to go for a good jog and wake myself up before my daughter comes home.
Jog on. All right. Well, let's get into other stuff we've been watching. Let's go with Christian first. Have you got anything that you've been watching recently that you're like, I wouldn't mind telling others about?
I have been absolutely loving What We Do in the Shadows. And this is probably one of my most favorite TV shows of all time at this point. And I've seen Breaking Bad, and I'm a huge fan of Breaking Bad. But What We Do in the Shadows is so perfect. And it's only even better if you have seen the movie. Mm. And it has some of the best comedic timing, some of the best acting. The cast is perfect. And we're just talking about sneaking people into movies. They snuck so many cameos and so many celebrities into the show. It's mind blowing. Mm-hmm. And every episode is just, it's a gem, you know, it's really, really good. You could almost jump into any episode you want, but it really, is best if you start from the very beginning, go all the way through, because there are stories, you know, like overarching stories, and they're so good. It just really is. I love it. I got Brian into watching it.
Oh, it's so good. I don't know. I'm so mad at myself for not getting into it sooner. Mm-hmm. It's fucking amazing.
But I mean, but you were able at least to watch it in one big chunk now. So that's a good thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
It is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I hate watching shows when they're airing. Wait. I hate waiting. Mm. I don't have the patience. I want to know what's going to happen, and I want to know now.
Yeah. I didn't jump on to What We Do with the Shadows until probably they were 3 episodes from finishing season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I got onto it pretty late, but I'm glad I got onto it, though. It's so good.
It's very, very funny. I haven't seen any of the second season yet, so I'm really excited about it.
I put it above the first myself. The first was amazing, but the second season has... It's going to be difficult for anything to top that Colleen Robinson episode for me, for best episode this year. I was going to say,
vampire.
My favorite thing about this show, and it's only because I rewatched the movie last night. I've already rewatched season 2 again. I loved it that much. Every single character insists on saying Colin Robinson. He has the name. It has to be both names, but they all say it differently. And if you... hello, Colin Robinson.
That's so cool.
So Nando does it that
that's
way,
good.
And Nadja is Colin Robinson. Is
that's
one word.
Damn good man.
They've all got their own way of saying. Even
we're
himself.
We're waiting for Matt Berry. Come on.
Ah, Colin Robinson.
Fucking guy.
Bat.
Fucking guy. I love. I have to say, I love the episode where the main vampire. I'm forgetting his name. Christian.
Mandor.
Get me out here. Mandor. Where he goes into the U.S. Citizenship office to try to get his citizenship. Oh my God, I'm dying the entire time because all the questions are asking him to be a citizen. It's just such a quirky style of comedy. It's unique.
It's and very I don't Taika think Waititi.
It's it very is. New Zealand.
Speaking of, it's like he's a New Zealander, right?
Mm.
Okay, it's a very unique brand. It's weird. It's different. Mm-hmm.
It works though. Like I think it works for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, from a lot of different countries. I think people, you know, whether it be New Zealanders, Australians, people from the US, I reckon the English would like it because there is a fair bit of that sort of English humor in there.
It's a type of comedy called deflation comedy, and it's a thing that New Zealand specializes in really well of constantly just taking the air out of a moment and letting you watch. So many other comedies, especially stuff coming out of Hollywood, is all about building to the joke.
Yeah.
And you've got to build up and get the excitement up there so when the joke hits, it pops the room. Whereas New Zealand comedy kind of works in the opposite way of let's try and suck out momentum and just drop jokes all the time. And just drop them in what feels like normal conversation, and they don't highlight the joke ever. And that's what I think, as you say, the timing of all those characters, they've got that down. And they're almost all from the UK. So they're coming at it from a different style of comedy, but they're working with New Zealand writers, directors, all this sort of stuff. They're filming in Canada. Mm. There's such a weird mix of different comedic voices blending together to make something that nothing else is like. You know, you could say
Matt Berry is a perfect example of like the comedic timing. He is so good.
He's
as the role
good.
Of Laszlo. He's so good.
Oh,
I love him.
Have you guys checked out Toast of London? It'd be worth it. His show.
No, I've never even heard of it.
Have a search. Toast
3 seasons. It's his comedy where he is a
voiceover artist.
A voiceover artist who thinks much more highly of himself than anyone else in the industry does. Over in the UK.
That's fantastic.
And it's him.
As most of his characters are. Yeah.
But it's him doing the voice.
It's the voice.
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Have you seen The It Crowd?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's another good one.
Yeah. He's so young in that. Yes. I mean, I know it's old, but.
He is.
Yeah.
Yes, Clem Fandango, I can hear you.
It's so good.
So good.
My sexy pat.
I am. What's his undercover name? Jackie. That he when he wears the blue jeans and he puts in the toothpicker. I am
not
it's like,
the hat.
Anyway, wears a hat. Anyway, yeah. When he goes undercover on What We Do in the Shadows,
as
Jackie Daytona.
No, that's right.
He runs a bar. I'm Jackie Daytona.
I love to feel the witch's ass in the back of my head.
Amazing. Oh dear. Brian, what have you been watching recently that you want to
what would be something recommended I would have to say right now, I am on a giant kick of the X-Files again.
Oh, really?
It's not something new, but I am on a giant kick. This is my third rewatch of X-Files at this point. It's pretty sad. It's embarrassing. I know.
What
season?
Oh, my gosh. I am on season 3.
So okay, so
more
early
good seasons
on
to go before it goes to shit after that.
Yeah. Have you got Lone Gunman yet? They're in yet?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Oh yeah, Lone Gunman. I believe is first season when we get the first introduction to him.
Don't they seem a lot more reasonable in today's world?
Oh yes.
Everyone thought they were kooks back then, but now actually they just probably had a lot more information.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wish they hadn't shit. Fox hadn't crapped all over the revival of X-Files because it's just a mess.
I wanted to get into it, but yeah, I did drop off pretty quickly.
I enjoyed the episode with Rhys Darby as a lizardman.
I don't even think I got to that one.
I love that guy.
So he's in what we... No, he's from New Zealand. He's actually in What We Do in the Shadows as well. He's the leader of the werewolves pack.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Yeah. Come on, guys.
That's right.
We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
That's right. That was amazing. Yeah. That was so good.
So, yeah, we love him.
I loved him in that episode.
So with your rewatching, are you doing the movies as well?
I am. I love the first film.
Uh-huh.
I cannot stand the second film.
I didn't
see
the second.
That's the correct
answer. It's one of the only films that I've fallen asleep in a theater in.
Wow.
That's never happened. I literally fell asleep halfway through. I'm like, this is horrible.
It's one of three that I've walked out of. And I'm with you 100%.
Cats. Wow. Christian, Cats. Ooh.
Oh, let's not go there.
Oh. There's no reason.
That just brings up bad memories, man.
Bad memories. Yeah, I'm watching the films. I'm so excited to get to the first film. I love the film. I love the first film. I'm absolutely in love with it. I like the way they push the lore. Mm. I just wish that Scully hadn't been asleep when the ship passes over. And we finally get that moment of, okay, it's in your face. It's real. Stop denying it.
Does the second movie kind of like, what's so bad about it? Does it just not follow the X-Files?
It's just
lore, the formula, the acting. What's going on?
It's boring. It's like this random episode of the X-Files that was turned into a movie that didn't need to.
Elongated.
Oh, so it's like a filler episode.
Mm. A really bad filler episode.
Damn.
Yeah. So I hope Disney does something with that now that they own the rights to that. I hope they maybe do something. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I would say that. And the other thing that I'm watching right now is I just finished is The Five Bloods.
Sure.
What is that?
It is a Netflix exclusive film directed by Spike Lee.
Is that with is it Ernie Hudson in it?
No, not Ernie Hudson.
Delroy Lindo. It's Delroy Lindo. Yes. I'm telling you it is.
It is.
One of the cool, I love that guy. I love him from...
So what else has Delroy Lindo been in?
A lot of 80s.
He has been in... I remember.
Wasn't he in Get Shorty? Malcolm X? Ransom?
I remember him. My favorite movie he was in was Gone in 60 Seconds.
Is he in that?
What is this movie about?
So it's about three guys who are now in their 70s. You know, they're old men. So these guys go back to Vietnam. They were in the Vietnam War. One of their friends, Chadwick Boseman's character, he passed in Vietnam when he was fighting with them. So they're going back to find his body. And in all that going on, a bunch of shit happens. I can't really say anything.
Without spoiling.
Yeah. And that mine scene is... Oh my God.
It sounds tense.
Oh, it was. It was. It really was.
Reminds me of the Kingsman 2. The landmine scene in that one.
Sure.
The landmine, he has to freeze it. Mm.
So it's kind of, I was going to say, it's kind of like The Last of Us 2. You have to be in the right mood to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Sounds like it.
Do you want
to take breaks during The Last of Us 2?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm surprised you managed to get it so quickly. Like get through it as quickly as you have. That's impressive.
I doubt it. I'm
taking my sweet ass time. Everything I see, I got to go explore. I have to go check out the tiniest little details. Because like I said earlier, Naughty Dog is just too good at that shit. So
yeah, I don't have the patience to do that. I just want to get to the end of the story. I want to know what's going to happen.
Oh, not me. I want to cherish every moment.
I have a 7-year-old daughter and another one about to arrive in like 2 months. So, thank you. But I'm just saying that I don't have time to ever play anything that long. We play Animal Crossing together.
Cute.
Nice, nice.
You know, my gaming has very much shifted to short form. And
yeah. Are you hearing what Tom is saying?
Yeah, I have a little one on the way too. So,
dude, it's the best fun. It's awesome fun, but you will watch a lot of movies over and over. cannot recommend School of Rock enough. Get that on DVD. That is a movie that can play on a loop as an adult you'll be okay with, because the 15th time of Frozen in one weekend, you will put your head through a wall. But School of Rock
is
amazing.
Jack Black, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect.
So School of Rock is great.
I'm obsessed with Trolls.
Yes, Trolls is fantastic. Oh, has awesome music.
Is it good?
Yes, it is good.
It's funny as hell.
Yeah. The other one I will really strongly recommend that you would not expect at all is called Sing, and it's a bunch of animals in like American Idol.
That's the Illumination, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it has no business being as good as it is.
But it is.
But it's like, of the films I had to watch on repeat with my daughter, first time through, that was really high up the list of stuff. And then we had the soundtrack in the car, just on a fucking loop.
Tom, have I asked you what you've been watching?
No, not yet.
Tom, what have you been watching?
So I was going to be all highfalutin and come in with some clever documentary answers, and instead I'm just going to burn them off now quickly. I watched Prehistoric Road Trip, Dino Hunters, and Dinosaur Cold Case.
Ooh.
So if you like fossils and bones and people digging around in dirt, fuck me, this month has got you covered. We're not going to go into them because they were as dry and boring as you would expect, but god damn it, I loved it. Anyway, what I'm going to talk about.
I'm not going to fuck spiders.
No. What I am going to talk about is two shows that both started this week, and one I thought was going to be really silly, and it was kind of silly, but the other one was every bit as silly as I hoped. So one of the shows is called The Great Debate. And I think it's on Comedy Central or something like that. It's hosted by Baron Vaughn. And it's something that used to happen at Comic Cons a lot. Obviously can't happen this year. But it's getting 3 to 4 celebs that come in and discuss a very nerdy topic. And so the first episode was all about discussing some key films and key stories from the 80s. Mm. And they had a lot of fun with it. And it looks like it's just going to be a nerd debate each week.
That was great fun.
But the show that we need to talk about, the show that I've been waiting quite some time for this to come. It got announced that things were happening in 2018. And then
that's 2 years ago.
They filmed it last year and then the executive producer died. So they had to finish it off without his involvement.
Wait, what is this you're talking
about? It's a show called for Netflix, and it's a show that pairs very nicely with Nailed It. It's called Floor is Lava.
Oh, I saw this was coming. Yes.
The show is called.
This is like a Wipeout competition thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So they have a soundstage, and it looks like lit up water, but it's actual slime. And they worked with the company that does a lot of the slime for Nickelodeon's events.
Nice. Good stuff.
And actually produced the most slime that has ever been produced at one time in history.
So fun.
To create this obstacle course that is inside. And the coolest part is every episode the set is completely changed.
And it's adults, right?
Oh, it's adults. There's no children invited. It is brutal.
That's awesome.
So it's always teams of three, and it might be their family or their friends or something. And they do a little bit of spiel and introduce themselves, and it's all very positive and it's that sort of stuff. But people get fucking decked. People get hurt.
So that's perfect.
Yeah, like smacked. And the greatest choice that this show made, the thing that elevates it to another level for me, is that when someone falls in the lava, you get a great shot of them going under. Then it cuts to their teammates and they're going, no, oh, and screaming. And then the person that fell in the lava, never seen again.
Amazing.
The show pretends they died.
That's hilarious.
And they're not shown again until the round is done.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Hell
what
yeah.
happens to those kids when the guy just like, when the Aztec guy just kidnaps them?
And they've never been seen since.
I want to see that spinoff.
Yeah, where they are. The kids. Well, they might be in the upside down world or something, hanging out with Barb from season one of Stranger Things.
Goes to a meat factory somewhere.
Yeah, you are.
They come out of the end of a cave somewhere else, somewhere far off. They come out, they're all bearded and long haired.
Their eyes can't take the light.
But yeah, this.
No, oh my God. No, they come out and they end up on the floor as lava. Ah.
So this show, it's very similar to Wipeout. It's also very similar to, there's a UK series called The Crystal Maze, which was back in the 80s, I want to say. Ooh. And they've revamped and brought it back recently with Richard Ayoade, who is from the IT crowd, Moss from the IT crowd. Yeah. He hosts the UK version, and there's a US version now on Nickelodeon hosted by Adam Conover from Adam Ruins Everything. And it's an obstacle course show, but there's also lots of trivia and stuff involved there. This one doesn't have as much trivia, but, you know, there's one of the sets that they've got to do is themed like a bedroom, and it's got a spinning four-post bed. So you've got to jump on that at the right time to be able to jump off to the other side. Climb along some curtains, and if you pull a curtain rail, then it might drop a chandelier that you can use as a shimmy point. All this.
Hey, this is a great idea.
Yeah, fucking this sounds awesome. Really fun. And it's going to be on Netflix, yeah?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, it is.
It dropped the other day, and it instantly shot to number one on Netflix.
Oh, well, I know what I'm watching tonight.
So I've been hearing people talking about it. Really quick, and I don't mean to segue here, Tom and Lee.
Bring
it. I got a question for you, because us simple Americans, do the release schedules, are they the same? No. You guys, because I've heard that it's different
for everything. It depends on the production company, distributors, all sorts of stuff. Netflix major releases will generally be pretty closely timed, so like a Stranger Things will be a global release at the same time, but then there's other stuff that they will stagger relating to school holidays and this sort of stuff. Movie wise
that makes sense.
Like at the cinema, we're almost always behind you guys with stuff. So like the Lego movies, they will keep them for up to 3 to 4 months until the next school holidays rolls around. Whereas other stuff-
It makes sense though.
For some reason, Marvel and Star Trek are the only two that we get before you always. We
I
get
always
Marvel-
about that because I'm like, what that must be like, you know, do you get spoilers? But okay, it comes up.
So we get spoiled on everything. So social media is
except Marvel.
True. I also think that simply because of the time zones and stuff, things like we've been talking about The Last of Us 2, that was here in Australia at least 12 hours before the US. People were playing it here already.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just has to be, you know, it came out on this particular date and that date starts for us earlier.
If there is a physical element to a release, then it has to be released at 9 a.m. And so it means we beat you guys by quite a few hours. Mm. But the Star Trek one comes from Paramount, which has – Paramount's got a strong presence in Australia. And it was always, we want a global release on the same day. New Zealand isn't quite big enough to have the global premiere. So global premiere for any Star Trek film was always held in, you know, in East Coast Australia.
Mm.
Okay. Mm.
And then, Marvel is just the same deal. They want global release and we'd be pretty fucked off if we were a day or two after you guys. Because we get spoiled on everything. Like it's just a rule from about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If there's a big show, like if Game of Thrones was on right now, you can't go on social from 12:30 till when you watch at night.
But Game of Thrones was released at the same time, but everyone's at work.
Yeah.
So
it's like people
I was going to say, if it was released earlier, why didn't you warn us about something?
Yeah, guys, don't worry about that one.
Someone like me, we have a job where we can get away with watching it live at 11 o'clock in the morning when they show it.
Yep.
But for most people, that was not a reality.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Yeah, I've always wondered. I'm like, man, I because I've always thought that when I see that, this movie didn't get released at the same time, or this show, this game, whatever it is, I'm just like, shit, it must suck.
Yeah,
there's certain stuff it really does suck. And then other stuff we're real lucky with. We get album releases before you guys a lot of the time. We're a small market, and they'll often dip their toe in and see what a reaction is like before choosing on how much they're going to invest in the States. So, there's a few things we do quite well in.
We got Disney Plus the same time as you guys, where, you know, Europe and apart from the Netherlands, I'm pretty sure the Netherlands got Disney Plus as well at the same time.
That's where their content bank is.
Yeah, right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, they were testing. I remember them testing it out there first or something.
Which seemed to work because it works.
That's not a watch. This is a watch. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I mentioned it on your show, but I rewatched Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai and Idiocracy.
You've been busy.
I wanted to watch dumb people being dumb.
Mm.
Tom, I really need to see Buckaroo Banzai. I keep hearing of the references, and I've seen people reference it in other like reviews and things like that. And it was, of course, in, oh my God, what the hell is the name of this movie Spielberg directed? It came out a few years ago, the game one.
Yeah.
Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Ready Player One. I need to see that film.
Seminal early Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
He wears a cowboy outfit with chaps throughout.
Brilliant.
His name is New Jersey.
Wow.
Clancy Brown, one of his very first films as a mechanic called Rawhide.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, buried under prosthetics. And John Lithgow.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking madman.
John Lithgow often plays the bad guy.
I know, but this is, I promise you, the most insane Lithgow you'll ever see.
Okay.
It's part of his character. 20 years before the film starts, he attempted a scientific experiment of phasing, mm-hmm. going through something, which is what Buckaroo successfully does. But when John Lithgow did it, the hole wasn't quite big enough, so he only went halfway through the wall and the aliens invaded his mind. And so he's had 20 years of aliens fingering the inside of his brain.
That's got a tickle.
Oh, okay. So he's like Gary Busey.
Yes. Very much so. He is on some next level shit. The accent he is doing is both.
Yeah.
It's so broad that it can't be offensive because it's just, it feels like he's taking the piss out of every accent at the same time.
Wow. Oh, that sounds awesome. Okay.
It's, what year was this?
I want to say 78. Somewhere around there.
That's
I could be going way too. It might be like 81 or something like that.
Wow.
But like they didn't have a big budget, and every dollar they did have is up on screen, and they it's just it's.
Isn't RoboCop in that?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's the main guy.
Yeah. Right.
Peter Weir, or whatever his
Peter
name
Weller.
Is.
Yeah. Peter Weller. Yeah. He was on Dexter as well at one point.
Was he?
Yeah.
But oh man, I go back and rewatch it about every 2 years because it's just one of those. There's a lot of those comfort food movies from the 80s that you go back and rewatch again and they don't hold up as well.
Yeah.
But Buckaroo was out of its time at the time anyway.
I've never heard of it. I feel
it was never a thing here in Australia. It never really got much of a release. I got tipped off to it going to cons in the States and people going, wow, man, you haven't seen Buckaroo? Holy shit, Aussie man, you're gonna fucking love it. Like getting a lot of that chat.
That was spot on.
Oh, dude, I'm always down in San Diego. I got them SoCal dudes hanging out, man. Yo,
oh, yeah,
see,
man.
Dude, you seen that new X-Men? What is up with Professor X?
Oh, that is so good.
Thank you.
The X was perfect. The X pronunciation was beautiful. Okay, so talking about crazy out there films really quick.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen, Christian, this includes you two, Nothing But Trouble?
Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's a shit show, but I
love
that film.
Wait, who's in it? What? I know the name.
So it stars Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd as this old, decrepit, ancient judge in this like weird small town, and John Candy's in it, and Demi Moore's in it, and
holy crap.
Yes, and then at some point eventually oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting their name, the group Digital Underground shows up with Tupac, and Tupac makes his like big debut in that movie.
I would have seen this. I 100% would have seen it, but I do not remember this.
I forgot that Humpty was in that film.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, it's just a shit show. It's a horrible film. It's poor. It has the worst reviews. It made nothing at the theaters. But I remember watching it as a kid, and it's just one of those guilty pleasure.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you go back, and it's just riddled with nostalgia for you.
There's so much good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. I've been rewatching, because it's appeared on Netflix here. I'm not sure about the US, but I've been rewatching Top Chef, which I never really watched much of. Like, it's been around for years. I think it's up to season 445,000 or something.
Sounds right.
No, in all honesty, I think it's about 15 or 16. But watching the first season of a reality show from the early to mid 2000s is incredible because they haven't got the reality show pacing quite right yet. The contestants don't give it, they don't care. They're running like that.
They're not strategists yet, are they?
They're not strategists.
I didn't come here to make friends.
Word for word, that's what one of the contestants says at the beginning. We're like, oh, she's gone to reality school, lessons.
That's the Richard Hatch playbook, right?
Exactly. But like, I'm sure they're drunk most of the time because they've always holding a bottle of or glass of wine. The host isn't even Padma. It's this other woman. And I was looking her up because she's I wasn't sure if she was real because she's very mannequin, very still. She apparently was married to Billy, either Joel or Idol. I can't remember which one. Which one's the one from New York?
Billy Joel.
I think it's Billy Joel. Billy Joel. She was married to Billy Joel, and she apparently just disappeared from the show, and I can understand why, but they didn't give a formal thing. Padma, like, I'm only just into the second season now, and she's such a better host, far more natural. But even the food that they present is nothing like the food that, that is being shown on reality show cooking shows anymore. Like even the plating, the way they plate it is super daggy and it's so funny that even for someone who is not a chef or a cook, I can notice the trends and the fashion within a plate of food. It's bizarre. I've really been enjoying it because they whiz through it way faster. It's none of this.
That's so
funny. Like there's MasterChef here in Australia and you can barely hear what anybody is saying because the dramatic music is so loud. It's just, it's too much. Where this is way less.
Do you guys mess around with cooking shows too much?
Oh hell yes, yeah? I do. I definitely. I love. Like I said, I love me some Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Guy Fieri.
It's not really a cooking show. He more like eats the food that they cook for him. I mean.
Yeah.
Did you like Anthony Bourdain?
I will say that.
Oh, yeah. I miss him.
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain is awesome.
Fieri has been doing a different show recently where everyone sends the food to his house and he cooks it with his kids in the backyard.
That's
they do an online Zoom meet.
What?
Yeah, he gets three or four different chefs. So it's almost like Triple D and Triple G combined. He gets these four different chefs and they send all the ingredients already half prepared for what the meal would be. And then one after the other, he cooks them while talking with the chef and stuff like that. It's really good COVID programming. Cool. Yeah.
That is a really intriguing idea. I heard about that. I love that idea.
I used to watch Man vs. Food.
Oh, yeah. I like that show.
I still love
that.
I like that's come Adam. Back. The new guy, Casey, he's pretty good.
Is he? I haven't seen him. I'd watch that.
He's a very. Excitable man, and the editors like to look for opportunities to make him look like a fucking nonce.
Hey, he's getting paid. He probably doesn't care.
They intentionally use every bad take.
Right. I would say one of my favorite cooking shows right now. It's been for a while. Is oh my god, my wife watches Chopped. I think is what it's called.
Oh yeah. Sure. Yep.
Yeah, Chopped. Oh, it's so good. Christian, have you seen that one?
I've seen bits and pieces.
I love it. I love the idea of it, you know, starting with three, narrowing it down, obviously, to one. Mm. It's just and these baskets that they come out with are so absurd. I'm like, how the hell are you supposed to cook this, which a piece of steak with rock candy and who the hell knows what it is? I can't even make it up.
I don't want to eat it. Shit up.
Have you seen a program called Bon Appetit? Because you just described how the cooking happens on that show.
You know what? One of the season one contestants is a cook or chef on that show.
Nice.
Yeah, an older lady. I can't remember her name now. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she's just sweets? Like she has
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love cooking shows.
Pretty good.
Yeah, there's lots of great cooking shows. And they make you feel good. Like they're just easy to watch. They're fun.
Yeah.
It's not actually serious. Anything. Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing negative about it. No. It's all positive.
Yeah. I've always been a fan of it.
I pitched a long time ago.
I was not paid by Food Network.
I used to work in advertising and I pitched for a long time with a bank because they were trying to do a promotion to find Australia's best cook. And I was like, nah. Let's find Australia's worst cook. Because that's something you can improve.
It's enjoyable.
You can't, there's no improvement for the best cook. But
it's fun too.
I cannot watch that show. Worst Cook in America. Yeah. I don't know if you guys get that in the States.
I
can't watch it. Being someone who cooked for a little bit, was in that industry for a little bit, and I love to cook. Christian can attest that. He's had some of my food. And seeing the shit that these people do, I'm just like, my eye starts to twitch. And I have to turn away because I'm like, no, what are you doing?
So does that mean Nailed It is not good viewing for you?
Oh, my God.
Because we love Nailed It.
So
that one
funny.
Actually is just hysterical. Yeah.
It's so
that's
good.
That's hysterical. Right?
Yeah.
I don't like the host, but I love the the situation.
What do you mean? We love her.
Wes.
Wes.
Really?
I, that's
my
wild.
My wife gives me shit about it. I don't know. I think she's a little too overactive.
Too much for you.
Know.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, I live with women. I live with all women. So Nicole Byer is very popular in my house.
That's the correct
answer. You know what? I will say now, I know this is not a cooking show, but guys, I would say this is one of the things I would suggest to watch is Queer Eye.
It's such a feel-good show.
So fucking good.
Makes you feel
cried,
so good.
I've laughed. I've hugged my wife. It's so good.
I killed my dog and watched it.
Watching a group of five gay guys help people is just, it's great.
It's pure.
It's so good.
Yep.
It's so good.
And it somehow always gets your emotions going. Yeah. It's somehow.
Holy crap. I have no shame in saying this. I've cried a few times watching that damn show.
I cry every time. I cried at one of their ads.
Jonathan Van Ness. Amazing. That man is hysterical.
He's amazing.
Yes, he is.
Do you guys really want to get into a Would You Rather?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right, I've got six of them. We're all going to answer this, and it's all going to be correct because you rather whatever you want. Let's go with the first one. Would you rather a sensibly sized within the laws of your state group for movie night at a friend's house or a board games night? Let's go with Christian.
So it's either a movie night or a board game night?
Yeah. But both at a friend's house. So it's a group of friends.
Oh, well, if it's Brian's house, I got to go movie night. Because I'm sure he's got some stupid-ass movie he wants me to watch.
What about you, Brian?
I'll go with movie night.
You're going to go the same? Are you going to team up?
I would say movie night. Yeah, I'm not big on game nights usually, so movie night is definitely the thing at my house.
Tom?
Yeah.
Movies. I think you and I are both board game nights.
Board games.
Because I don't like watching with other people.
And I just like the chance to play some of the board games that you have that you can never really play, you know.
I just want to move my plastic men around and scream out, "For the Emperor!"
or play a little bit of Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. That's a fun game.
Yeah.
All right, what about, would you rather listen to a podcast or music? Let's go with Tom first this time.
Music.
Brian.
Podcast.
Christian.
Music.
Oh, it's 50-50. I go podcasts as well. Yeah, I don't listen to much music anymore. I don't know why.
I think it's interesting that the two podcast hosts involved in this meeting now that are a little more organized and involved with keeping the show on track tend to listen to other podcasts.
Fair.
And those of us who go rogue listen to music.
Tom Lee, I mean, come on. Yes. So yesterday, I'm sure you guys saw it on our social media. I was lounging out in my little above ground pool, relaxing. Mm-hmm. And what am I listening to? I'm listening to a podcast.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's just my neighbor gives me shit about it.
Yeah, you just have your priorities right and your neighbor doesn't. You can tell them that.
No, that's cool. My neighbor got cranky at me the other day because I was dancing on the balcony to Carly Rae Jepsen real loud.
Why would you get angry to that?
Ooh. How could you be angry at anyone dancing to Carly Rae Jepsen? My moves were fucking sexy.
I bet they were.
I was wearing a cardigan without a shirt underneath. I was doing my best.
It was
big Lebowski around. You know.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, would you rather have permed hair like Sigourney Weaver in Ghostbusters or Bill Murray's mullet from the movie Meatballs? You reckon you want to go the mullet?
I already have a mullet.
Yeah, Tom decided he
would
have
take
a mullet.
The mullet.
Mullet. Mullet.
I have to go perm then.
I could see you with the perm.
Okay. My hair's almost perm almost curly anyway, so I don't think anyone would notice. They might just be like, it's a bit of a mullety perm you got there.
I reckon you'd look very Jennifer Beale.
Yeah, I would be Jennifer Beale from Flashdance. Yeah.
I think it's more of a curiosity thing from my point of view. I've never had a mullet.
You just want to see how much you rock it.
Wear that sucker. Hell yeah.
Okay, this is my favorite one. Okay, would you rather hang out with Bill and Ted or Marty McFly and Doc Brown in a time-traveling movie?
Oh, that is rough.
Yeah,
that
I know. Well,
Brian, go ahead. Answer that one.
because it is my favorite film of all time. So, Christian, I'm sure you know where I'm going with that. It is my favorite film of all time. I can quote all three films by heart. Mm-hmm. Back to the Future, Marty McFly, and Doc Brown. Done.
I'm going to have to go same with that. Because now, because you're not hanging out with Keanu Reeves.
No, you know? No, it's Ted.
You're not hanging out
yeah.
with the actor.
No, you know, the yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to have to go with Marty McFly and Doc
That's
Brown
a good
sure.
point, actually. What do you think, Tom?
I'm going with Bill and Ted because Rufus.
Rufus.
And I'm not assigned to both a specific time and a place. They jump around throughout history, whereas that's Doc Brown's type thing is always about sorting out one fuck up he made.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you couldn't really be in charge, would you? I was going to say Bill and Ted simply because I think that you could probably talk them into doing what you want.
Also, I want to hang out with their version of Napoleon.
I want to hang out with Death. He seemed like a nice guy.
He seemed like a cool dude.
Yeah, he did. Once you get to know him.
I want to share Neapolitan ice cream with Napoleon.
and he'd be like, what is this cold cream that we're eating? This is bizarre.
Are you guys excited, by the way, for Bill and Ted 3?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun.
I do too. Yeah. I think they should just bite the bullet and go digital at this point with the release.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a thing that happens. Yeah. Okay. Would you rather have your life real time narrated by Morgan Freeman or David Attenborough?
Ooh.
Mm. Ooh. So you're really going for two separate sort of docos there.
Do I want David Attenborough narrating my life?
I think you would.
Or Morgan Freeman.
Shit, they're both so epic.
The penguins walked across the ice.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Watch as the penguins move down the road.
I would, shit, just because he is, it's, God.
And so, it, but
so
it's
hard.
In your head,
jeez,
right?
Leo, what's with these questions?
No,
so is it
movie.
In your head or
no,
is it, or you're walking and you hear it or you don't even know it exists because you're a character within the film?
You're a character within.
David Attenborough.
Yeah.
Your character.
I have to go Attenborough
I'm
as
going
well.
Attenborough as well.
I'm going to have to as well.
No.
Because he's not going to do any other humans. You know, it's all like spiders and, you know, underwater.
Oh, but there's those clips of him narrating people drunk in a nightclub. And now, as he eagerly approaches the bar, hoping for another beverage and a chance to score.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, if we can get that, I would like that in my head.
Yeah.
Could you imagine David Attenborough just narrating this moment in your life?
As Brian sits there, contemplating the decisions in life, should he have had the spicy tacos or the regular tacos?
These are the things that I would kill.
This is good. I'm really into this.
That time he knew he made a mistake.
And as he finished up at the urinal, one shake, two shake, three shake, now he was just playing with it.
And then he wondered to himself, why did that hurt? Interesting.
And then someone else asked him, what is the ice in the urinal for?
Sorry, it's a Hot Chicks reference if you've ever seen Hot Chicks.
It's good. It's good.
Oh, my God, that was good. Okay.
Beautiful questions, guys.
Well, I'm glad you've been enjoying them, but all good things come to an end, and this will be the last one. Would you rather rewatch your favorite movie growing up? Which would be crap when you watch it again. So, like, as an adult, there's like a 90% chance it's not going to be good. Mm. Or would you rather watch a new reboot that has been catered towards adults? So, would you rather your favorite movie from like 1992, or would you prefer the reboot catered towards adults?
They said 1992.
I mean, I could have said 1985. It depends.
My favorite film
helps.
As a child, right?
That probably helps for me.
You're saying my favorite film as a child.
Yeah.
And realize that it's going to be complete crap as an adult.
Yeah. Like, do you want to ruin your memories?
Does it have to be complete crap?
Well, you don't know. But there's a good chance. But you're going to hang
on
to the 10%.
I'd go with it. I'd go with the watching the film from your childhood.
You're going to rewatch?
So basically you're saying, do I want to watch original Ghostbusters or do I want to watch the all-female Ghostbusters?
No, do you want to watch the one that hasn't come out yet?
Well, that's still kind of the same thing.
True.
You don't get to choose which one you get.
That's a good point.
That's why I'm asking. I really like the look of the one with Paul Rudd coming up. But I really didn't enjoy the one. Missed one coffee. Mm-hmm.
It was 2 hours wasted of my life. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Kate McKinnon. Watch me have no one give me any advice.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
I feel like even though it's going to ruin that memory, you can still kind of call back on that those old memories, even though they're gone.
Where potentially watching the remake would ruin it totally. I get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm along that line too.
I don't want to see Tom Holland as Marty McFly. I just don't want to see that.
I watched a deep fake of that. It was pretty good.
Dude, it's so cool. Yeah. It is. So good.
I don't see them rebooting Back to the Future, but I can see them taking that story. Anyway, that's not what the question is. No, what would I rather? I would rather watch one of my old things because that's what I do. I like to watch old things and see that they're inappropriate now or look for the flaws that weren't there.
Mm. Sure.
I think that's 100% for
that.
I did
that recently with Small Soldiers. I don't know if you remember that film, but with the toys that came to life, the action figures.
Was it good? Because I have fond memories of that film.
It holds up. The special effects are way better than you would expect. Something about the fact that the Uncanny Valley doesn't exist because they're toys means that it still really works now.
Ooh, I like that.
Give it a go.
Oh, with the Gorgonauts, right? What are they called? Gorgonauts?
Yeah.
Yes. Wasn't that their team? Uh-huh. Oh, so cool, man. That movie's boss. I love that shit.
I'm still trying to tack. I've still got some of the toys from it from back in the day, but I never managed to track down. There's the twitchy guy that spins.
So you, Tom, you might be excited to hear this really quick. So because I have a 3D printer, I am in the process of 3D printing some of my favorite Small Soldier characters right now. Full size.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
That's impressive. It's impressive you got a 3D printer. I'm very impressed.
I'm such a geek. Christian knows that. I am into everything technology. Yeah. It's bad.
But I benefit from that because he sends me cool shit. Ah,
so. There's no downside to any of this. And there's been no downside to having you guys here on this week's episode. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. That was good.
That was very
working on that for a little bit. We have been on your episode, like we said. It's coming out very soon. You can keep an eye out for it. The Critic Cave. Where we review Australia.
Yeah, that's our food portion.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one I really like because it's about food. It's my favorite cooking podcast. You guys are on Instagram. I know that. Are you on any other social media?
That's all Christian right there.
Yeah.
This Peter has been put
on. We're also on Twitter. So
awesome.
At The Critic Cave on Twitter, Instagram, hashtag The Critic Cave. If you guys come over and you like what you hear, consider subscribing to us so we can always bring better content to everybody that listens.
Brilliant.
Guys, thank you so much for having us on. It is a huge honor. Like I said before, I and our previous podcast we recorded with you guys, I have been listening to you guys for a while, and this is awesome. This is kind of a full circle thing for me, so it's pretty cool.
Why do I have the circle of life in my head now?
Because you're lucky. You guys going to come back on again soon?
We would love to.
Fantastic.
You guys would love to have us on. We did, you know, absolutely.
I will come up with some more great Australian sayings to teach you.
How about this? And I know we're doing this on the fly. Let's just simmer on this idea. What if we do another film where you guys jump back on with us? Mm-hmm. We review your suggestion of an Australian-made film with an all Australian cast.
Oh, so we should make them watch The Castle.
Whatever tell him he's you dreaming.
Want, yeah, but tell I want he's dreaming.
All Australian production cast.
Okay.
Castle is the greatest Australian comedy ever made that you will have no clue what's going on.
Perfect. I'm so if you guys are willing to grace us with your presence again on our show, we would love to have you back on.
Love to.
Virtual handshake has been done.
Oh, yeah.
On that note, Tom, thank you.
Cheerio.